Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
As the blooms of summer start to fade and you're not mowing the lawn quite so often, but you see that your child is still sneezing and wheezing, fall allergy triggers are a bit different and can present themselves in other ways. My guest is Dr. David Hill. He's the Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. Speak about fall allergies. We hear our kids wheezing, sneezing. You go, oh, I hope you're not coming down with a cold. But then it sort of starts to go on for a while. How do you know it's allergies, and what do you do about it?
You know, that's a great question. The seasonality of it is one of the best clues to allergies, right? Because a lot of things cause runny noses. Colds cause runny noses. Sinus infections cause runny noses. Sticking a bead up your nose causes a runny nose. Hot foods cause runny noses. So when do you know it's allergies? And one thing is, some people's allergies are very seasonal. Maybe there's a mold or a pollen that they're particularly allergic to, and when it comes around, you can count on them getting allergic symptoms, runny, itchy, stuffy noses, and also itchy eyes. So that alone should be a big clue. Another thing is how long it lasts. A cold ought to come and go over about a 10 to 14-day period. So somebody who's got a runny nose longer than that, you could have two viruses back-to-back, but you start to think about allergies then. An allergy should not cause a fever. So if your child's got a few days of fever, that's probably a viral or a bacterial infection, but it's probably not allergies. The hallmark of allergies is itching. More than colds, more than sinus infections, allergies itch. So if you see your child rubbing your nose all the time, it's called the allergic salute, the thing where they kind of run their hand right up the front of their nose.
Oh, boy, I love it when the kids do that. Yeah, you just want to really give them a hug after doing that, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, give me a high five.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the eyes, too. You see them itching at their eyes a lot. If it's itchy, it's more likely to be allergic.
Okay, so if it's itchy, if you see them rubbing their nose, rubbing their eyes, if it's going on a little longer than a cold would go along, you take your child to the pediatrician. It's fall allergies. What do you do? Right away, do you go see an allergist and get tested for allergies, all those shots? Do you go on some sort of an inhaler? What do you do about it? I mean, you hate to think of having to put your kid on medications every season.
Right, and yet, prolonged untreated allergies have some real impacts, even on the way the face grows and the way the top of the mouth grows. So you do want to get those allergies treated, especially if they're keeping your child outside. One of the things that makes me the saddest is when a parent says, oh, I can't let him play outside because of his allergies or his asthma. And my eyes always get really big because I'm like, no, we can fix that. We want your child outside. So you do want to treat it if it needs to be. The first line of treatment in allergies, especially for kids under age two, is often antihistamines. Newer antihistamines are less likely to make children sleepy, things like loratadine specifically, cetirizine is another one, and that's one of the only things you can do for really young children. Those are generally over-the-counter, so you can try those without even necessarily seeing a doctor. The second thing, and arguably the single most effective class of medications, are corticosteroids that you squirt up in a child's nose. Usually we don't start those until children are age two. But if you're looking for the most bang for the buck from a single kind of medication, the studies would suggest that the inhaled corticosteroids are really the most effective single type of therapy. Now, there's a third type of drug, Zafirlucast or Singulair is probably the best known of these. That works on a third allergy pathway. That's probably not a fantastic single drug therapy for a lot of kids, but it can be an effective add-on therapy to other medicines that they might be taking. And then lastly, to make them go away forever, sometimes allergy shots. That is the one thing, allergy immunotherapy, that can actually make allergies go away. And when nothing else is working, immunotherapy is often the thing you turn to.
Okay, so you try these different medications. What about things that you can do that don't involve medication? Do air filters, Dr. Hill, work? That one parent said, I don't want the child to go outside. But, I mean, are there any things that you can do within your home, keeping windows closed, that help to reduce some of these triggers? Or if they're going to happen, they're going to happen.
You bet. It depends very much on the trigger. For pollen triggers and mold triggers, using an air filter can be helpful. Using a central air conditioner with a high sort of tiny pore filter on that called a HEPA filter can be very helpful for getting those things out of the air. Other things the filters don't work so well for. So house dust mites are not a seasonal allergy. They're a chronic allergy, a perennial allergy. They tend to rise and fall when you kick up dust, and they don't stay suspended in the air long enough for the filters to pull them all out. Pet dander tends to rub all over everything in the house. It's really the saliva of the pet. So if your child's allergic to the dog or the cat, the filter's not going to do just a whole lot of good. In those cases, actually getting the animal out of the house is your best bet, although some people think you could, wash the animal. There is, by the way, no such thing as a hypoallergenic dog, no matter what the breeder tells you.
How interesting that you're saying
that. Don't pay the extra $1,000 for the hypoallergenic dog. Dog saliva is dog saliva.
Wow, so it's the saliva, not always necessarily what everybody thinks is the fur or the dander.
Yeah, the saliva gets on the fur and the dander, so that's the way it gets carried around. But studies of different dog breeds, when they're rigorously conducted, then you can't really find a difference.
Wow, that is so interesting that you say that, because people do not tend to think of it that way, that it is the saliva. So, okay, fall certainly different than summer allergies or spring allergies, because there's a bit of mold in the leaves. It's kind of just a different allergy. So if somebody finds out that they have a fall allergy, Dr. Hill, does this necessarily mean they're going to have spring, summer, they have to keep these medications around in case, or seasonal is seasonal?
Kids who are allergic to one thing are at higher risk to become allergic to something else. So, don't throw your meds down the toilet at the end of the season. You might need them again. However, some kids are allergic to very specific things. This is one reason to talk to a doctor, to consider allergy testing. You certainly don't have to have allergy testing to diagnose allergies. But in cases when it's unclear if there is an allergy, when it's unclear what the allergy is to, or when you're trying a couple of medicines and nothing seems to be working, that's when you really do want to do the allergy testing. So, it might be helpful in this kid to get a sense of what seasons are going to be bad and what they need to be looking out for.
Okay, so treatments, we've got nasal spray, antihistamines, decongestants. When you're squirting the stuff up in your children, and that's the corticosteroids you were talking about, is this something that can make them more sensitive to increased allergies or things? Are there side effects to these things?
Sure. The side effects to the inhaled nasal corticosteroids are generally mild. Some kids will get nosebleeds or nose irritations from them, but it's not tremendously common that happens. Some kids just don't like the flavor of the medicine because it kind of goes down the back of the throat after you squirt it, so you get kids who complain about that. But generally, they're very well-tolerated medicines. With corticosteroids, we're always worried about growth inhibition, and there may be a tiny bit of growth inhibition with the ones that we use for asthma, the ones that you breathe in. The growth inhibition with the ones that you put in the nose seems to be pretty undetectable or really minuscule. So if you got a child who's miserable with the allergies and needs this medicine, and that includes, by the way, a couple of my kids and me during certain seasons of the year, I have no qualms about using them when needed.
Best advice, 30 seconds, fall allergies.
Fall allergies. If you suspect them, check with your doctor. Don't be afraid to use the medicines that you need to so that your child can enjoy jumping in that leaf pile.
Oh, that's fun. Jumping in the leaf pile certainly is fun. You're listening to Radio MD, and if your child suffers from fall allergy, make sure you see your pediatrician. Don't be afraid of those medications. They can make you all a little bit more comfortable. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD. Have a great fall. Thanks for listening, and stay well.